have such great music people, and Pam and Sam and everybody. And things we want to say, because first is good morning. We are glad you're here. It's good to see everyone again. Some had been gone for a while because of illness and whatever, but you are back, and we are glad to see you back. Glad you're getting better. Some we just haven't seen for a while, for whatever reason it be, but we're all together again. We're here, we're here. We're all together again. We're here, we're here. Who knows when we'll be all together again, but we're all together again. We're here, we're here. I think we sang that in Boy Scouts or something. But you know, there will be a day, if we're in Christ Jesus, we'll be all together again. All the parting and all the different sorrows and all the different, you know, there'll be a big old meeting in the air, and there'll be shouting and singing Southern gospel music. Anyway, it's good to see everybody. Glad to have you here. Just a few things I want to say. The church will start collecting winter clothing and coats and gloves and things to give to the Help House. So if you have any of that stuff around in your closets that you'd like to clear out, and if it's still wearable, good condition, and then get it over to us, and we'll get it to the Help House. We want to collect those by September 12th. So put that on your calendar, and if you'll do that, we sure appreciate it. And the children and the adults who may receive that, I'm sure will appreciate it on a cold winter's day as they have the warmth of that coat around them. So thank you. Sound booth. If there's anybody who would like to learn that technology and be a part of our sound booth group, we do have a few people on that, but people are absences now and then. And so to keep a goodly number of people who are trained in that, if you will connect with the pastor and then connect with Dan, and they get you trained on that, and you can be a part of the sound booth group. And I think they're going to get their own T-shirts. And so, and the last thing I want to mention is a men's retreat. If you want to be a part of that. Now, I think the pastor just told me that the retreat time, and I should have looked at that. Some of us will be at Southern Gospel Quartet during that period of time, but we'll see. But yeah, if you'll fill this out, get it back to the pastor, so we can he can look at that and plan the activities. He'd like to have something together for the men to participate in and have as a way of building up the men's ministry and building up men for Jesus Christ. So I am again glad you're here. We worship this morning and praise the Lord. And let's just do that one time together. Just a big rousing praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, amen. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Let's sing. Shall we lift our voices in praise? I'll sing and you follow. Let's stand this morning.
I will worship with all of my heart, and I will praise you with all of my strength, all my strength. I will seek you all of my days, and I will follow all of your ways, all your ways. I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise. I will bow down and hail you as King, and I will serve you, give you everything, give you everything. my eyes to your throne, and I will trust you. I will trust you alone, trust in you. I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise. I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise. You have you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise. You alone are worthy of my praise. You alone are worthy of my praise.
Amen. He's the only one worthy this morning.
Be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yield his life an atonement for sin, and open the life gate that all. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us. Great things he hath done. And great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he hath done. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears have gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Listen as I sing.
I am surrounded by the arms of the Father. I am surrounded by songs of deliverance. We've been liberated from our bondage. We're the sons and the daughters. Let us sing our freedom.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
For God hath given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. But not you, therefore, ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ.
You slit the sea where I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me, and I will stand and sing. I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me, and I will
Father, we are your children. Because we are your children, we have the inheritance of eternal life as we know you as personal Savior. Lord, we praise your name this morning for what you're going to do today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everybody. See, I changed it up. I didn't say everyone. I said everybody this morning. If you caught that, but I'm adding some new stuff here every week, you know. So I have a praise this week. Was working on replacing a top of a porch, and there was a swarm of wasps in there. So my son went to the store and got some spray. It said all natural. I'm like, this is not going to work. So we probably sprayed them 50 times, but we didn't get stung at all. They would fly at us and then go away and run into you and fall off and stuff, but they didn't sting us. So that was a praise. I've been stung enough for the rest of my life, and I was glad we didn't get stung for that yesterday. We also have any praises this morning you'd like to share? Linda?
Good morning, church. Some of you know that back in 2018, I was diagnosed with triple negative breast cancer. And I am so happy because God stuck with me through that whole year, brought me through to the other side. I'm happy to say that as of the 15th of this month, I have hit the 5-year mark. I am cancer free.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Oh, I saw that hand up there.
I want you to continue to pray for Steve. He's got an upper respiratory infection that went into his ear. And so the nausea got better, but then he went into this. So he's not feeling too good. So just remember him. And I do want to praise the Lord for my little granddaughter, Gracelyn, for the Lord giving her such strength and helping her through this fourth open bypass heart surgery, that she started kindergarten this year. Oh, yay! Amen. So I just want to praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Amen for that.
I love that song that we just sang, I Am. And I praise the Lord that I am a child of God.
Amen. Want to say something?
Amen. Don't forget to pray for Ann Cordell. She has surgery at noon, and she fell at a restaurant and fractured her bone by her hip. They said it's running vertical instead of horizontal. If it's horizontal, they can put a plate, but it's vertical. It's right by where the ball and socket is or whatever. So she's having a hip replacement in about 1 hour and 10 minutes.
I'm just thankful for Dave and I wasn't able to come last Sunday. I wasn't feeling well over the weekend, and unfortunately, I don't know which it was, but we had family in town as well. But it gave me a little bit more time as I sat in a chair in the corner of the room and they were over here, and I talked to them. But we were just sharing, 40 years of marriage, and Pam and Sam, congratulations on your 15 years. But anyway, as I was thinking through, and the kids and I were talking about how much I've changed as a mother through those 40 years and through their childhood. And as we were singing that song, talking about fear, and they were saying, Mom, you got better. The more kids you had, the less fear you had. So Josh said, yeah, I got to ride the bike all over town. The rest of you only got to ride it around the block. And, just different things that change. The more kids you have, the more you realize that, there's so little that you control. That you actually control. And I was just reminded of that as they were sitting there and sharing their stories. And there's some new challenges for this year coming up. And yet, I just am reminded of God's omnipotence, His power, His strength. And I don't have to live in fear. And as a young mom, I remember that. I was so, so fearful. And life teaches you a lot, but still, you, in the middle of the night when you wake up, those fears that grip our heart, and yet so many times, I'll talk to Dave and he'll say, well, Dave just handles it like, well, God's got this, just God's bigger than that, And I'm just like, yeah, but. He's like, but there's no buts, And we have this conversation and he's just got it down, And So I guess that's the joy of marriage. And I do praise the Lord for Dave and for my kids and the reminders that God is faithful.
Amen. I didn't recognize you in a different position today.
Just want to thank the Lord for the safe trip Pete and I had down to Louisiana to visit our grandchildren. We had a great time, a little tired when we got back home. They're a little younger than our other grandchildren, like 10 years between the ages, though. So, anyway, we had a good trip down and good trip back, and really enjoyed our visits. So.
Good, 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 good. Any other prayer requests this morning before we pray? Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for being with us through the good times, through the bad times, through the happy times, the sad times. Lord, we know you're right there with us. We are fearful. We know that you're there as well to guide and comfort us, give us a peace that passes understanding. Speak with Ann Cordell today as she faces hip surgery. Pray that it goes well with no complications or no problems with that, and the healing is quick and the pain is lessened. Lord, we just continue to pray for Steve, that you'd be with him, Lord, in the condition that he has. And thank you for Graceland, Lord, going through these surgeries and coming out strong. And be with those, Lord, who may still be facing issues of surgery and pain and just issues with life, finances and family problems and all those things that happen to us. And we just pray for those. And we just give you the praise for delivering, for coming through. Thank you for things happening in your time, that you allow us to be your children. We just give you the praise in your name. Amen.
Good morning. You know, I can't start singing before I talk a little bit, so I'm going to talk a little bit. Last week, you heard Pam and Sam sing a song about, I speak Jesus. Do you speak Jesus? We should all speak Jesus. And so I'm going to sing one of my favorite songs, and it's called The Untitled Hymn. But it also says, come to Jesus. Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die, oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live. Like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember, when you walk, sometimes we fall. So fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus and live. Sometimes
steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, and live. Oh, and when the love spills over and music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, kiss the world goodbye and go in peace and laugh on glory's side and fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus.
Thanks for sharing that, Chris. I appreciate working with Dave. I tested him this morning. I don't know if you saw me testing, but I was testing him up here. When I went to hand the microphone like that, I kept taking it away from his hand to see if he'd get frustrated. He just smiled. He just smiled. So everything you said, Pam, was true. He's calm and just takes it on stride. I guess I turned into Al for a few minutes there. I don't know what he does. I didn't say you owe me a dollar, though, but that's like he does. Well, have you ever had a day when things just don't go as planned? Maybe it's more than a day. Maybe it's a week or a month or a year or several years. I don't know. You just felt overwhelmed like it was never going to end. We've all kind of had those experiences with something or other, haven't we? Whatever it may be, and we think about them, they stay in our mind, and maybe we even question and say, you know, God, you know what I'm going through down here? Do you see what's happening? We have those questions that we ask. You might have wondered, God, are you even there? Well, Hebrews 13:5 tells us that God will never leave us or forsake us. So if he's not going to leave us or forsake us, that means he knows, right? He's there with us, beside us, holding our hand, figuratively, right? As we go through things. Remember back when you were a kid? Some of us, that's longer than others. Some of us were still kids today, so it's not too far away. When you were scared and your mom or dad just took your hand and it made it better because you knew somebody was there, or maybe it was a sister or brother or whatever it may be, but somebody was there next to you and took your hand. Psalm 23:4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This talks about the valley of shadow of death is when we're facing that time when our time on here is done. And we're all going to face that at some point, aren't we? When this is your last day, this is your last breath, this is your last whatever. But there's comfort in knowing that even though I walk through that valley of the shadow of death, God's with me. He has a rod and a staff. If you look up the rod and the staff, I'll let you do that. but it's what he uses to keep the sheep and rescue the sheep and correct the sheep. But it says, your rod and your staff are with me, and they give me comfort. It's like when you get in trouble at school with somebody who wants to try to fight you or something, and you say, well, my big brother's right there. You have comfort, don't you, knowing that you're protected, you're being watched out for, and that's what you have with that. But what do we do when things get tough and they get hard and we get discouraged and feel like giving up? Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall in the sea, into the heart of the sea, and though its waters roar and foam, the mountains quake with their surging. We're supposed to run to the Lord when that happens, not run around in panic, freaking out, screaming, what am I supposed to do? But trust that God's going to help, right? He's going to help us through. You know, we aren't promised life on earth forever, are we? We all have a time and a point in time when it's our time to go. Maybe it's in a hurricane. Maybe it's in a tornado. Maybe it's going to be natural. Who knows what it is? But it's not a surprise to God, is it? Not a surprise to him. Because he's our refuge and strength. And it talks about earthquakes and basically tsunamis and all those things happening that are happening now. And he knows. And he's there. And the thing is, even though we suffer for maybe a few moments, you're going to be in eternity forever with him. This is only temporary. Because God is over all things. And nothing can separate us from his love. Isn't that comforting? Nothing can separate you from his love. It's going to be there. It's not conditional. It's not going to count on how many times did I pray to him today? How many times did I read my Bible? How many times did I do this? It's not based on that. It's based on that he loves us because we're his children. Well, there's no doubt in anybody's mind that we're living in uncertain times. Just look at what happened with coronavirus. Nobody expected that. The effects it had on economy, society, people, families, and the effects that it's still having on people. That we don't even know what's going to happen in the future with that, but God knew about it. And that crossed the whole world, didn't it? That crossed everywhere, and he still knew what happened. Well, here's some examples of people that were with God, and he was with them as they went through hard times. One we always talk about is Job. Some people pronounce the name Job, but it's Job. And I think about him, and you think about he had all these things. You know, he had family, and he had riches, and he had cattle, and he had all kinds of things. And then Satan went to the Lord and said, you know, he's loving you basically because of what you've given him. He's never really had any hard time, had hard troubles, whatever. And remember the Lord said to him, you can do whatever you want, but you can't kill him. So he had boils, and he lost his family, and he lost his crops, and he lost his health, and his relationship with his wife was strained, and his friends, and what would you do in that situation? Would you be like, well, there's no God, because look what's happened to me. But that's not what he did. He questioned, though. Remember, he said, why is this happening to me? You think it's okay to ask God questions? Sure it is. Why is this happening? I don't understand. Sometimes you get an answer immediately. Sometimes you don't get an answer until later on. You figure out, oh, that's why that happened. Because if that hadn't happened, then I wouldn't be here. This wouldn't have happened there. Sometimes you wonder when you lose a job. Why did I lose that job? I love that job. Now it's gone. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, look where I'm at today. If I hadn't lost that job, I wouldn't be in this job where I'm at today. I wouldn't have moved. I wouldn't have done all these things. And that, when you can look back, hindsight is 20/20, right? This is how it all worked out. But when you're in the moment, sometimes you think, I don't know why this is happening. I don't know. We just need to trust that God knows what's going on. And at one point, Job, it says, at this, Job got up and tore his robes and shaved his head, fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I'll depart. For the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Job did suffer with struggling, or struggle with suffering. And he asked God, why am I going through this? All suffering's not bad, you know. Some suffering's okay. It may not seem like it, but there are times when God pushes us to try to get us to move and do what we're supposed to do. Any of you ever been on a farm with cattle? Anybody? Do you just say to the cow, move, Bessie, move? Or do you sometimes get a little stick or a cattle prod and go, move, Bessie, move? Sometimes God has to do that with us. Move. I want you to move. Don't stay there. Don't be complacent. I have things for you to do, but they're not going to happen where you are now. So you need to actually move to where you're supposed to be. And then eventually God blessed Job even more than he was blessed before because of his faithfulness. Then we look at David. He was anointed king of Israel and chosen by God, and yet he also was tormented by Saul, who chased him for years, and he was living in a cave. He had opportunity to kill him, didn't he? But he didn't do it. And then his son Absalom was after him as well. So can you imagine your own son or daughter turning against you and wanting to kill you? I can't imagine something like that. But he went through those kind of things as well. And then Bathsheba, then he lost his son. The thing about losing the son that I think about in that passage where it talks about him losing his son is he refers to seeing him again someday. So you look at that passage and people say, oh, when you die, you're just gone. Well, he's going to see his son again. He had comfort in knowing that even though he lost his son, he was conceived in sin and, you know, had his wife's husband killed before he married her. But he knew that he was going to see that child again. So when you have a child that has passed away or you have a child that didn't make it through delivery or any of those kinds of miscarriage, someday you're going to see them again. And you wonder what they look like. Wonder what they're going to sound like. Wonder what color hair they're going to have, you know, and that kind of stuff. So you have that hope from David's passage that even though those circumstances were horrible, that he knew that he was going to see him again. Then we know how the story ends, you know, for Saul. Falls on his sword to avoid capture. But a lot of the Psalms David highlights, he cries out to God, like Psalm 142, which says, I cry aloud to the Lord, I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out before him my complaint, before him I tell my trouble. I think it's okay to complain to God, isn't it? I'm struggling. I have a problem here. This isn't working. I don't understand. This is making me angry or whatever it may be. And ask him. Say, God, I need help. I need your guidance and your direction. But David concludes his Psalms a lot of times by praising God and giving him glory and knowing that God's with him. So even though we don't see God a lot of times, he hasn't ever appeared to me. Maybe he's appeared to you, but I don't see him. But I know he's there because of the things that happen. When you pray and you see results. Or you pray and you feel comfort and peace. Or you pray and you get guidance and direction. But King David was definitely wanting to let God know that he felt overwhelmed. But he knew whatever the circumstance was that God was going to be there. And then there's Moses. Think about Moses. Several times he suffered hard times. He struggled to believe he could deliver his people from Egypt. If somebody said to you, you're going to deliver America from all this poverty and all this hate and all this crime, and they said, it's going to be you. And you're like, what? Me? Yeah, it's going to be you. You're like, no way. So you can understand what Moses would have felt. How am I going to do that? And then he had the burning bush experience, where the bush is burning but not burning up. And he called him to do exactly what he wanted him to do. Led his people out of Egypt, free from bondage. It was a high point in his life, the time when everybody's praising God and singing songs, but then a problem came. As they're going through the desert, they had no water to drink. So who do they blame? Moses. You brought us here. It's your fault. We should have stayed where we were. We don't have any water to drink. But God was testing Moses and the people to see how they'd react in the new land. They murmured against Moses, wondering what they should drink. Exodus 15 tells a little bit about it. It says, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days, they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Mara, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That's why it's called the place of Mara. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we supposed to drink? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. You imagine that? You're out in the middle of nowhere, and some guy says, hey, I'm just going to throw this tree in the water, and it's going to be fine. You're like, what? I find it interesting. A lot of times the solutions that God comes up with are not things we could think of. When we have problems and issues in different circumstances, and God says, do this, and we think, that doesn't make sense. But it works. So he threw the tree into the water. They were able to drink. After that, they came to Elim. The Bible tells there were 12 springs or wells and 70 palm trees and plenty of water. So God saw their need, and he provided as they traveled. They became hungry, and he provided again. Was the road tough? Sure, it was tough. But was God there? Yeah, he was there. When you're going through hard times or struggles, it's always good to have somebody with you. So you have somebody next to you helping you, encouraging you. You can make it. It's going to be okay. We can do this. It's hard when you're by yourself. But a lot of times, Christians, we are by ourselves. When we have a need or a concern, sometimes we don't. I don't want to tell anybody. They don't have to know I have any problems. Here's the thing. Everybody has problems. Whether they tell you or not, everybody has some kind of problem in their life. They may look great on the outside. Oh, they're going great. But if you really knew deep down inside, yeah, there's some issue that we're dealing with. Whether it's a relationship or finances or family or faith or whatever it may be, everybody has some kind of issue they're dealing with. And then there's Peter who says, you know, in Mark 14, even if all fall away, I will not. Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. Yet what happened? Peter denied him three times, didn't he? The same day, before the rooster crowed, he denied him. Even though he said, I'll never do that. I'll never do that. Be careful what you say when you start looking at other people saying, well, man, look at what they're doing. I would never do that. Maybe you think you'd never do it, but everybody has capability of doing things that are incredibly terrible. Right? Look at Nazi Germany and those things, what happened in that time. Those people probably thought, I'll never do that. And then they got into it and they got caught up into it. And they did those things. Circumstances sometimes drive us to places we don't want to be. So it's good to have somebody with us to help us, to correct us, to guide us, and to be with the Lord. And then at that point, Peter thinks he's unworthy, goes back to his old life. All disciples go with him. But in John 21, Peter's restored, isn't he? He's restored. What does that feel like when you do something wrong and somebody says, I forgive you? It's okay. That's just refreshing, isn't it? When you're restored and you can say, I'm good. I don't have to feel guilty about that. I'm forgiven of that. They've taken care of it. So a lesson we can find in some of these things is that God is always with us. We can find strength and comfort and guidance through him during hard times. I read an article this week by a guy named David Mathis, and I'm going to share most of what he said, or parts of it anyway. First part you're not going to want to hear. I'll just turn the mic off for that part. It says, your crisis is coming. If it hasn't already, or if you're not in the middle of one right now, your time will come. It's horrible. Who wants to hear that? But it's true. We're all going to face some kind of crisis somewhere. Don't know the extent, don't know how big or small it's going to be. Maybe you mash your toes against a chest like Linda did there. But some kind of crisis is going to happen. Question is, how are we going to deal with that crisis? He said, not just one crisis. In his severe mercy, God punctuates our lives in this fallen age with crisis moments of varying degrees designed for everlasting good. For thousands of years, God's people have known times of trouble and days of distress, sometimes too well. And the same continues today. Our Father never promised that our Father never promised that our being his in this world means that we always have our way. Do you always get your way? Things always happen the way you plan? You ever go to McDonald's and order a meal and you get the wrong one? Do you take it back and say, this is the wrong one? Or you just say, well, whatever, I don't care. If you have kids that want a certain thing, you take it back, right? They didn't order that Happy Meal. They wanted this other toy and those kind of things. But things don't always happen the way that we expect them to happen. Over and over again, the scripture describes the faithful not as those who saw trouble, but as those who cried out to God in their crisis. What happens if you have a crisis and you say nothing? You just suffer, right? If you cry out for help, hopefully you get some kind of help, especially when you cry out to the Lord. But our God is not just a God who speaks, even though he's wonderful and he's marvelous and he listens. James says he's quick to hear. Psalm 65 says he hears our prayers. He hears our voices. He not only sees all of us, but he sees us in a special way because we have a covenant with him, because we're his children. It's a little different when a family member is saying something than when somebody else says something, isn't it? If it's your own child saying something, that's different than somebody else's child walking up and saying something. Not that you don't care for both, but it's different when it's a family. And as our Father, he hears us. He has an ear for us. He's not bothered or annoyed by us asking questions, especially not in times of distress. So when a child is having a time of distress and asks you questions, how are we going to do this, Dad or Mom? How is this going to happen? Do you say, stop asking me? Or do you try to give him an answer? Try to give him comfort. It's going to be okay, honey. We're going to make it. It's fine. Psalms in particular celebrates God's eagerness to hear and to help his people in their day of distress and times of trouble. David testifies that God had been to him a fortress, a refuge when he was in distress. He said, in the day of my trouble, I call upon you and you answer me. He will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. It says, may the Lord answer you in your trouble. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. I know when I was a kid, my cousins and I used to fight sometimes. Not really fist fight, but, you know, just kicking and hitting, stuff like that. But one time, one of my cousins and I got in a fight, and he kicked me, and I chased him all the way to his house. And he ran inside and slammed the door. And I banged on the door, and his mom said, you're not going to be able to come in here. Leave him alone. He went to a place of refuge, didn't he? Because if he hadn't got to that refuge, there was going to be some trouble happening. We need to be that same kind of way. When we get in trouble and things are happening, temptations or trials or struggles, we need to run to God, and he goes in and shuts the door and says, you're not coming in, right? Because this is a stronghold. This is a refuge. But Jacob's life had a succession of crises at times. Remember, he had to marry Leah before he could marry Rachel. Then there's Esau and all those things that happened with him and his brother. And there was that tension because he stole his birthright and he thought his brother was going to kill him. So he sent, you know, people ahead and animals ahead and all these things and tried to kind of make an appeasement with him first. And then he and his brother made up, didn't they? They're a family. It's hard a lot of times, I think, when family members won't talk to each other. Like, I haven't seen my sister in 20 years, and we never talked. Well, why? Well, we had a disagreement about what TV channel should be on. Or they say, I don't even remember why, but we just have that now, so we're just, for some reason. I want to see my family as much as I can. And you know what? We don't always agree on things. We agree to disagree. And some things we talk about are issues, and I know they're going to say that, and I'm going to say this, so we're not going to say anything. We're like, well, you believe that, and I believe this. I still love you anyway. Right? Doesn't have to be a big blow-up, big crisis. But in our limited understanding and our fallenness, it may seem to us at times that God is hiding himself in our hard times and moments of crisis. But we come before him humbly, not cherishing sin in our hearts, so we can expect God's going to listen. I think when we're sinning, especially purposefully, our communication with God is hard-pressed. It's hard to communicate with him when we're doing things we shouldn't be doing. He wants us to get things right. Maybe say, God, I'm doing this and I don't want to, so can you forgive me and help me to be where I'm supposed to be? We can't assume that he answers how we would do it or exactly when we would want it. You ever pray to God and say, God, I want this to happen now. God, I want this to happen now. I really need it to happen now. You know, this deadline's coming up. I only have 2 days left, but I need it to happen now. And then you keep praying and nothing happens, nothing happens, nothing happens. And maybe 10 minutes before it needs to happen, it happens. You're like, whew, thanks. Thanks for that. But it would have been better for me if it happened 2 days ago instead of happening now. But God always knows. God works in his proper time. It says in due season. So he's going to answer us. But sometimes it's not with our timing and sometimes not the way we expect. We may think he should answer it this way, and instead he answered it this way. And the way he picks is the best way for us. So we can't assume he's not seeing us or hearing us or answering us. We can't assume that he's far off. But we can know that he loves us and cares for us, and he wants to be with us through those circumstances. So when you're going through a hard time, a good thing is to have your friend next to you. When Jesus had issues, when he was in the garden, he took Peter, James, and John, and he was in distress. Remember, they kept falling asleep? He's like, what is wrong with you guys? Get up. They were just tired. They were human. They were tired. They were worn out. He offers up prayers, and he cries with tears and sweats drops of blood. And he says, you know, God, let this cup pass from me if it's your will. But God hearing and answering Jesus didn't mean salvation from the cross, but salvation through the cross. Jesus had to go through that to save us. So his salvation took the cross, took pain, took suffering on his part so that we could be free. The rescue God gave his son, Jesus, this was not protection from death, but sustaining grace through death. And then there was the resurrection. So imagine how the disciples felt when they saw him killed, basically, put in a tomb, thinking, this is it, it's done. And then when they saw him walking around, like, is that really you? Especially when he walked through the wall. Can you imagine that? All of a sudden you look over and he's through the wall. You're like, oh, the doors are locked. How'd you get in? Walk through the wall. And then to be able to eat and say, put your hand here and see that it's really me. That gave him a new sense of energy, didn't it? A new sense of purpose. But unless Jesus came back from the dead, we have no hope as we face death at some point. And God's answer to us will be sustaining grace, and that we have resurrection, and there'll be another side, that this isn't the end, right? This is just a time we're passing through. This is a short time. Eternity is forever. But we know God is too real. He's too big. He's too glorious to work according to human expectations, convenient timetables. Can you imagine if you were trying to tell God what to do? God, I think you should do this, and I think this leader should make that decision, and I think the president should be doing this, and this guy should be in charge, and it'd be a nightmare. You think it's bad now. How would it be if we're trying to run everything? We're better just to say, God, tell me what to do, and I'll do it. Because I know you have the best plan as possible. He loves us too much to always do what our imperfect selves want. But he always sees, he always hears, and in Christ he will always answer. Not necessarily the answer we want. But in life there's going to be painful times, but there's going to be an ultimate glory at the end of those times, right? We wonder, why do people suffer? Why do people go through these things? We don't know the answer. But the hope we have is it's a short time compared to eternity. And maybe you're going through those things, those hard times, so you can share with somebody else that it's possible. I'm making it through. I'm struggling, but God is there. He's faithful. I know Ernie used to talk about that when he's in the hospital. I shared with this nurse, and I shared with that doctor, and I shared with this person. So his pain was an opportunity for him to witness to others. Maybe that's what's happening. Maybe the situation you're in is not a good situation, but you can share with others. And when God gives you the answer, you can say, this is where I was going, and this is the answer that he gave. And look where I'm at today. We know he's right there with us, walking through our hard times. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for your word, so we know that you're with us, Lord, in good times, in bad times, in happy times, sad times, struggling, rejoicing, whatever it may be, you're there all the time. But we ask this morning you'd be with us in our hard times, whether it's hard times mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, whatever it may be, we pray you'd be with us, walking beside us, walking in front of us, behind us, taking care of things, working things out, holding us by the hand and giving us comfort. Jesus, we need you today, and we ask for you to be with us and make yourself known in Jesus' name.
Let's stand, shall we? Someday we shall behold him. It's going to be quite a day, isn't it?
And we shall behold him. We shall behold him face to face in all of his glory. Shall behold him. We shall behold him face to face. Our Savior and Lord.
Let's sing that one more time, shall we? Sing it out.
And we shall behold him. We shall behold him face to face in all of his glory. And we shall behold him. We shall
questions will be answered when we see Jesus face to face. Amen. Have a good week, and it's been good to see you.